Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Ross Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and I am broadcasting live. Well, not really live, it's a podcast, but you know what I mean. From NFL Films, the campus, veritable campus of NFL Films, here in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Actually, not that far from my co-host, Fran Duffy, who's over at the NovaCare Complex in Philadelphia, home of the Philadelphia Eagles. Fran, of course, is the star of this here show. He is the scouting video guru for the Philadelphia Eagles, whom you should all be following on Twitter, by the way, at FDuffy3. I am merely Ross Tucker, played 7 years in the NFL for a bunch of different teams on the offensive line, and I am loving what we're doing right now. Last week here on the College Draft podcast, we went over the AFC East and NFC East drafts with Matt Waldman from the Rookie Scouting Portfolio. He did a terrific job. But today we're going no guest, just so we can try to get even more information in for all of the various teams. And we're going AFC South and NFC South. And I got a bunch of different questions that I ask Fran for each of these different teams. Sometimes I ask him what he thought of the first round pick or a sleeper or a guy that he's skeptical of. We call it we'll see. And maybe even an undrafted free agent gem. Fran, you ready to rock and roll today?
I'm ready, Ross. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to meet you for breakfast this morning, but that would have got us out there at 4 a.m.
Yes, no, breakfast was not going to happen. Breakfast was not in the cards. Let's start, though, with the Indianapolis Colts and your thoughts on their top pick, Ryan Kelly.
Well, Ross, you know I love Ryan Kelly. I mean, he's one of the most well-rounded interior offensive linemen to come out of the draft the last couple of years. 6'4", 311 pounds, started at center for 35 games for the Crimson Tide, and just a guy that's got the strength, he's got the toughness to hold up inside. I believe both of us mocked, or at least one of us mocked Kelly to the Colts in our shock draft that we did the week of the draft. So we both thought it was a good fit, and definitely a guy that I think can come in and provide some strength in the pocket for Andrew Luck. And we know that they went into this draft trying to beef up the offensive line, which has really hurt them over the last few years. And Kelly, I think, will come in and be a big factor for them early on up front.
How about a sleeper pick?
You know, a sleeper for me is a guy that I figured that this guy was going to fall to day three just because of the depth of the defensive line group, and that's Texas defensive tackle Hassan Ridgeway. He's got good size at 6'3", 300-plus pounds. I was very surprised by his athletic ability, his explosive power. When you look at his raw measurables from the combine, he put up one of the more impressive performances of the defensive tackle group. He's got really good snap anticipation. You know who he reminds me a lot, actually, of K.K. Short from the Carolina Panthers out of Purdue. Some similarities as well. Both players kind of had questionable effort at times at the college level. And I thought Ridgeway, sometimes you'd watch him and he looked like a first-round pick. Other times you thought, you know what, this guy just doesn't really get it. But when he was turned on, this guy was really, really disruptive for the Longhorns. And, you know, I think the Colts really have potential there for a guy who could pay off well in the future for a fourth-round pick. I think they took him 116th overall. I think they got really good value there with Ridgeway as a guy who could play in a 3-4 or in a 4-3. You know, when they go to sub-package, he'll stay on the field as a pass rusher.
How about a guy that maybe we'll see you're not exactly sure about?
Yeah, you know, one guy that was getting a lot of love during the pre-draft process that I just didn't see it was T.J. Green from Clemson. And, you know, he went to the combine. He's 6'2 and a half, 209 pounds. He's got great size. He's got really good length, outstanding speed. I mean, he ran 4.34 at the combine. So a lot of people said, you know, this guy's got great size. He's got great speed. He's a former wide receiver. So as a safety, you know, the potential's there. But when I watched them, they had a lot of breakdowns in the run game, Ross, against some of their top opponents. You know, I watched them against Alabama. I watched them against Florida State. You know, I watched them against Oklahoma. And you see some of the big runs that they gave up. And it's always tough to try and guess, you know, from the outside looking in, you know what, who was really at fault there with that busted run was in terms of trying to diagnose the run fit for a defense. And obviously you're well aware of that. But a lot of the times, you know what, he was involved with it. So whether or not he was the main culprit or not, he was involved with that. And there were some issues that I had in terms of his anticipation on the back end, reading things. And look, he was only in his second year as a defensive back, a converted wide receiver back in 2013. I kind of thought maybe he'd be better off as a corner with those ball skills, the size, the speed. Let's develop him as a corner. They took him earlier than I thought that he deserved to go. I mean, he went in the second round, 57th pick overall. That's a project to me, and that'll be very, very interesting to see if that comes to pay off for them. He certainly has the raw tools, but a guy that you'll definitely have to work with at the next level. I'll be very, very intrigued to watch him develop.
Moving on to the Houston Texans, Fran, as we break down the draft for all of the AFC South and NFC South teams today. I already know how you feel about their top pick, Will Fuller. Anybody that's been listening to this podcast has heard you talk about Will Fuller multiple times. What about a sleeper out of their draft picks?
Well, I thought it was interesting, Ross. And you know how I feel about Fuller. I wasn't crazy about him in the top 25 picks, but they had a plan, and one of their plans was we want to add speed to this offense. And one of the other ways that they added speed to that offense was in the fourth round, 119th overall. They went to San Jose State and plucked running back Tyler Irvin, who I got to see in person down at the Senior Bowl. When I watched him in preparation for that game, actually he was initially announced for the Shrine Game, so watched him initially for that and thought, this kid's dynamite. I mean, he showed that at the combine as well. You know, he ran 4.36 in the pre-draft process. He's a little bit undersized, a former cornerback, but a guy that has the quickness. He's got the vision, very decisive downhill, not afraid to hit it up between the tackles for a smaller guy. But he's not, you know, obviously, look, he's not a naturally power, finisher as a runner, but a guy that's got great quickness, he's got versatility, can be used in a lot of different ways. And when you add him to that offense, with a guy like DeAndre Hopkins and with Brock Osweiler coming over at quarterback, I think there are a lot of different dimensions now that they can present. They won the South last year based off their defense, and it was clear that Bill O'Brien wanted to add some speed to that offense. When you add Fuller, you add a guy like Tyler Irvin, you add Braxton Miller, now there's a lot of dimensions there in that offense. And Irvin, they signed Lamar Miller in free agency, but he could still make an impact, especially, for you fantasy players that like PPR, are in a PPR dynasty league. I would keep an eye out for Tyler Irvin later on.
What about a guy that maybe you'll take a wait-and-see approach?
You know, a lot of people really, really liked Nick Martin during the pre-draft process, and I was a little bit cooler on him. I like a lot of the players in this interior offensive line group, and he certainly brings all the intangibles, everything that I heard out of Notre Dame, and I know you heard some similar things, was that he was the leader of that offensive line room, and he had the credibility from his teammates and a guy that really set the tone as far as leadership and work ethic and everything you want to do away from the field. But, you know, on the field, I didn't see the play strength for an immediate starter as an offensive lineman in the NFL. I thought he was a little bit squatty, and I didn't know how well he was going to consistently hold up at the point of attack. He certainly has the play demeanor you need. I thought he came off the ball pretty well, but I wanted to see a little bit more when I watched Nick Martin, and I don't know how you felt about him throughout the process, but a guy that I didn't necessarily look at him and say, you know what, this guy's going to be a day one starter, or even this guy's going to be a long time starter. I saw more of a key backup at the next level, and to take him in the second round where they did with the 50th overall pick, I didn't see him as a top 50 player in this draft. So I'll be interested to see how he develops down the line.
Yeah, I guess I struggled a little bit, Fran, when I look at like a Nick Martin. I think he's a solid player. I think he can probably be a functional starting center. I don't know that he'll ever be in the top half of the league. I guess I wonder, is he really that much better than a guy like Brian Allen? You know what I mean? Who goes undrafted, yet Nick Martin goes in the second round. I don't know. I'd like to see those two guys compete for the job, and maybe Nick Martin wins, but I don't know if it's that much of a value creation getting him in the second round when you could have gotten a guy like Allen in undrafted free agency. Let's move on to the Jaguars. Again, we've probably talked about Jalen Ramsey a million times at this point. So let's go right to the sleeper pick for the Jaguars in your mind out of their draft.
Yeah, we talked about them immediately after the draft with Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack. I mean, that's outstanding value with both those picks where they were able to stay pat. But when you get to day three, I thought it was interesting watching them draft because they added a guy in the fourth round in Sheldon Day out of Notre Dame. A lot of people thought that Day had a chance as, you know, as maybe a top 50, top 40 pick in this draft. He ends up falling to the third day of the draft, undersized, and that was the main issue. You know, under 6'1", only 293 pounds. He probably played lighter than that during his time in South Bend, but was a second-team All-American, was super competitive. He's got all the intangibles in terms of his off-the-field and his work ethic, super high motor, really competitive player, one of the more fun players to watch in this draft, and they lined him up in a number of different spots. I saw him in person at the Temple game, so you saw that athletic ability, you saw that burst off the line, and really the big thing that I wanted to see from Sheldon Day was just to get better with his hands in terms of his pass rush skill. He had the ability to win in a number of different ways, but you know, can he string multiple moves together? Can he counter once he's initially blocked? He reminded me a little bit of Mike Daniels from Green Bay, you know, for the Green Bay Packers, got drafted in a similar spot. I think that Sheldon Day can come in. Yeah, is he exactly how you would want to draw it up for that defense with Gus Bradley? Not necessarily, but when they go to sub-package, and we know how often teams are in sub-package, I think Sheldon Day could be really, really intriguing as a defensive tackle, interior pass rusher for that defense. So I think that they got some good value there in round four.
What about a guy that you're going to take a wait-and-see approach with?
Yeah, that's Brandon Allen from Arkansas. And I know a lot. Some people were pretty high on him throughout the process in terms of being that kind of developmental third-round pick or day three pick. You know, I just didn't see it with Allen. Yeah, he's undersized. The arm strength was a big question for me. And look, he's accurate. He's got some quick feet. But I just didn't see a player that was going to develop into anything more than potentially a third-string quarterback at the next level. And look. Look, yeah, they already have Blake Bortles. They've got their quarterback of the future, so they didn't necessarily need a guy that was going to come in and take over the starting role down the line. And I'm probably nitpicking here because I really like the way that they approached draft weekend. But Allen would be the guy out of their group that I'd point out and say, we'll see what happens with him down the line.
Finally, let's wrap up the AFC South with the Tennessee Titans. And I think we know how you feel about Conklin. I'm curious to find out what you thought of them taking Kevin Dodd in the second round.
Yeah, Dodd's really intriguing. I mean, he's 6'5", 277 pounds. He's got tree branches for arms, 34 inches. He's got a great wingspan. Kind of a one-year wonder during his time at Clemson. You know, he didn't really burst onto the scene until his senior season, or his junior season, excuse me, only started 15 games throughout his career, all came this year. But I liked him more than Shaq Lawson. And look, we got the news yesterday, Shaq Lawson's going to be out for the next few months because of that shoulder injury. He hurt it in a non-contact drill, according to Adam Schefter, so we'll have to wait and see there. But, you know, Kevin Dodd is a guy that I was really impressed with when I was watching him, when I was watching Clemson's defense this year. He's got good movement skills for his size. I know he didn't test particularly well, but on tape I thought that he showed pretty good movement skills for that size, knows how to defend the run, understands leverage and how to set the edge as a defensive end. I'm very intrigued to see him play in that defense alongside some of the players they have in the front seven there in Tennessee. As a second-round pick with 33rd overall, I think they got good value in Dodd, you know, because he has that look of a guy that, you know, maybe he's not a double-digit sack guy year in, year out in the NFL, but I think that he can be a really quality starter down the line. I like the Kevin Dodd pick. I'm very, very intrigued to see, especially, look, people will wonder, oh, you know, they gave up some picks to move back up to take Conklin. You know, they took a guy like Derrick Henry. There are some questions there with what Tennessee did, even though they picked up a ton of picks in the process. But I like Kevin Dodd.
How about a sleeper out of the draft for the Titans?
Dude, I talked about this kid whenever I had a chance to during the pre-draft process. I loved Kevin Byard. He was my number two safety going into the week. And seeing him go off the board in the third round was pretty surprising to me because he wasn't getting that kind of love. Was a combine snub, was the first non-combine invitee to get drafted, and I believe he went 64th overall in the third round, 5'11 and a half, 216 pounds. athletically on tape, that was the big question people had was, does he have the range to play as a post player in the NFL? You know, can he hold up in man coverage? I'll tell you what, this kid's really instinctive. He's got outstanding ball skills. I saw him track a ball for an interception against Alabama where he had to run 45-plus yards to track the ball down in reverse and reel in the interception. It was early in the game. I saw him chase down one of the Alabama backs. Who am I forgetting?
Kenyon Drake,
yeah. You know what it is, Ross? You get into this part of the draft, and now all these names are going in reverse. I'm already starting to work on 2017, so now I'm, like, flushing all these names out of the toilet. But saw him catch Kenyon Drake from behind. Kenyon Drake ran 4.31 at the combine, and I saw him hawk him from behind on a 40-yard run. So, look, Byard's got great intangibles. He's instinctive. I met him down at the Senior Bowl, and he's a good kid, too. Had 19 career interceptions. A really, really intriguing player that I think is going to turn into a quality starter for the Titans. I really love that pick in the third round.
I'm not even going to ask you who your Will See guy is for the Titans because I already know that it's Derrick Henry, and we've talked about that a million times as well. Instead,
sure.
I just want to tell you about BetDSI.com. We are in the thick of the NBA and NHL playoffs. Major League Baseball is going strong. USC has some great fights coming up. Plus, how about the Triple Crown horse races? We got the Preakness coming up on Saturday, which is a great time to use BetDSI. It's the only site I use for online gaming. Quick, the mobile access is amazing. You, right now, can get a special promotion code, DRAFT10, where you get $10 free, Fran, to play whatever you want to play. So, you ever wanted to think about maybe betting, placing a wager, but you don't want to lose money? Well, here you go. Use the code DRAFT10. And see what it's like to have 10 bucks on a basketball game or a baseball game or a hockey game, or put 10 bucks on a horse, on a pony. Bet the ponies at betdsi.com using our code DRAFT10. Let's move on, Fran, to the NFC South. We'll go with the Bucks, and their pick in the first round was Vernon Hargraves at 11. Here's my question for you. Do you think the Bucs would have preferred Eli Apple, who the Giants took at 10, or do you think that they liked Hargraves better all along?
It's a good question. I could see why a team would want Apple over Hargraves because, and we talked about this a little bit leading up to the draft, was, look, the question with Hargraves, or one of the questions, was his size. Yeah, and he's 5'10 and a half, and there's not a ton of corners that get drafted high in the draft that are under 5'11. That's just not how it goes in today's world in the NFL. So I could see when you look at a guy like Apple, who's got all the physical gifts you could want in terms of his size and his length and his speed, yeah, he's not the finished product that Hargraves is at this point, but I could see why a team would look at that and think, you know what, I'd like Apple over Hargraves. And that's why I really, a lot of people are killing the Giants for selecting Apple. I was fine with the pick. But Hargraves, look, he's a really good player in his own right, has the ability, in my opinion, to play on the outside or on the inside at the next level. I'll be very intrigued to watch him develop there in Tampa Bay and see ultimately where he ends up getting used. But he's got all the athletic ability you want, was one of the top testers at the combine at his position. In terms of the corners this past year, has the ability to hold up in man coverage really, really well. You know, one of the best man cover corners in this draft. Gave up some plays this year. He gave up one touchdown all season long, 5 catches, 20-plus yards. I thought he did a really good job on Amari Cooper back in 2014. Only gave up a catch or two in man coverage. He can click and close on the ball well out of off, but it also is pretty competitive as well in man. The question is, how is he going to hold up against some of the big receivers that he's going to face week in and week out at the NFL level? How is he going to hold up in those contested situations? That's the question with Hargreaves, and I'll be interested to see if they're going to try and slide him inside in sub-package or if he's going to stay on the outside. And that's why some people have compared him to a guy like Chris Harris out in Denver as a guy who could play inside, outside. I'm very, very intrigued to see how he's used within the structure of that Tampa Bay defense.
What about your sleeper pick in Tampa?
Yeah, I really like the day three pick, their fifth-round selection, Caleb Benenock from UCLA. Played some tackle. He played some guard during his time with the Bruins. I thought that he fit well for a zone blocking team. And you look at some of the players that they've added along the offensive line in the last couple of years, a guy like Ali Marpet out of Hobart last year, and Darryl Smith from Penn State, 6'5 and a half, 311 pounds. He moves pretty well for his size. He's got really strong hands. He's got a tight grip inside, and he's an explosive athlete. I mean, he's got the ability to come off the ball well. I'd like to see him get stronger. That was the big thing, and honestly, I think that was the reason why he fell to the third day, is that I think he needs to get stronger at the point of attack. But a guy that I think has the football intelligence, you saw him make a lot of heads-up plays as an offensive lineman during his time in UCLA. I was really intrigued by Bennenock. I think they got good value with him in round five.
And obviously with the Bucks, we're not going to ask you your we'll see, because it's the kicker, Roberto Aguayo, and everybody wants to see how Aguayo does. I'll say this. I've said it before. I'll say it again. He better be good. He better be really, really good. Let's move on to the Falcons, Fran, and let's talk about their true sleeper, because we spent a decent amount of time already, I feel like, on their top pick, Keanu Neal. Give me a sleeper that the Falcons took in their draft.
Yeah, the guy that really intrigued me was Devondre Campbell from Minnesota, and he's got all the tools that you want from the linebacker spot physically. I mean, he's 6'3 and a half, he's 230-plus pounds, he's got super long arms, was one of the most physically impressive prospects down at the East-West Shrine Game. Honestly, I was a little surprised that he wasn't at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, but went to the combine. He ran 4.53, really impressive time. Again, for that size, I mean, he's almost 6'4", and he's got those long arms. And to see a guy that big move that fast is really impressive. The question was his instincts, you know, his mental processing. I thought he had, I thought his eyes were a little bit slow at times. And he's almost a guy without a position right now, because he played a little bit off the ball, played a little bit off the edge. I didn't really see him as a natural pass rusher, so how he's used in that Atlanta scheme will be very, very interesting. But I think that he could be really almost a Bobby Wagner-type player down the road. You know, they're always looking to find a replacement for Paul Warlow. They've just been unable to do that. I'll be interested to see if Campbell fits into that role down the line, or if he kind of fits in that Bruce Irvin type of role as a strong side linebacker. So Campbell's really, really intriguing to me. If they can get him in line in terms of playing within that scheme and you know, try and work up the instincts and the play recognition ability, I think he's a really, really intriguing prospect, one of my favorite developmental linebackers from this class.
Is there a guy that you're taking a wait-and-see approach you're not so sure about that the Falcons drafted?
Yeah, and it's at the linebacker spot, too, and they drafted him two rounds earlier, and that was Deion Jones from LSU. Look, he's really athletic. You know, he started only 12 games, didn't start until his senior year at LSU, but undersized, only 222 pounds. Really athletic, for sure, and he could play sideline to sideline, and I'm aware of all that. But I had some questions in terms of his awareness and coverage. I didn't think that he was a great coverage player. And then also just sometimes, again, also like Campbell, I thought his play recognition was a little bit up and down. There were times where I thought he saw things pretty quickly, but other times where I thought that he struggled to diagnose plays early and he took himself out of position. He's a quality special teams player, and that'll help him, and I think he'll stick in the NFL. I just don't know that you're going to get the kind of return on investment that you get from another player that you could have taken in round two with the 52nd overall pick. I don't know that Jones is going to be that type of player in the NFL. I saw him more as kind of a sub-package rotational player and not necessarily a future every-down starter. For instance, you know, I look back, I loved Quan Alexander coming out from last year in the same exact scheme. He started ahead of Deion Jones last year, you know, with LSU. I loved Alexander. Alexander went in round four. We know what he did this past year as a rookie with Tampa Bay. I didn't think Jones was that level of prospect. Alexander went in round four. He went two rounds earlier. So it was a little surprising to me to see him go that early.
Let's move on to the Saints. And again, like a lot of these teams, Fran, I feel like we already have talked quite a bit about Sheldon Rankins. I love that pick. I felt like that's exactly what the Saints needed. I love interior disruptors like Rankins with his explosiveness. Is there a sleeper that you saw in the Saints draft?
Yeah, I don't know that this guy's ever going to be a starter for them. But as a player that, you know, they took him late. They didn't have a ton of picks in this draft. That's why, honestly, that's why I feel like they cleaned up an undrafted free agent. They did a really good job getting talent in undrafted free agency, and I think it's because they didn't have a ton of picks. But when you look in their day three selections, I think Daniel Lasko is the guy that probably intrigues me the most. You know, he was a seventh round pick, 237th overall, so not really high expectations, but he's got good size. We know that he tested very well at the combine. I didn't expect him to. You know, when I watched him initially, I didn't see a player that had outstanding burst or outstanding lateral movement. But, you know, he went to the combine. He tested really well. Really what gets me with him is I think he's a very well-rounded player. You know, and he didn't stand out to me athletically, but he was a quality special teamer during his time at Cal, won special teams player of the year twice for them during his time with the Golden Bears early in his career, and then again late. Was a reportedly a high-character guy. Stood out as a blocker to me on tape. So he does a lot of the little things well. He was a two-time captain. So a guy that I think can step in and will fill a role for New Orleans. I just don't know if he's ever going to be, you know, a 20-plus carry type of feature back for them down the line. But, you know, in round seven, I think they have a player that's surely going to stick in the NFL in Daniel Lasko.
Dude, I love hearing that because he was my last pick last night in the Fantasy Feast Reality Sports Online Draft. I feel like I killed it, dude. I mean, I got in my first, I had the first pick, Fran, and number one, I took Zeke Elliott. Then it was a 12 person snake draft for those people that tried to get in on that Reality Sports Online League. And when it came around back to me at 24 and 25, I took Hunter Henry from the Chargers. I was surprised he was still available. Yeah. If Gates gets hurt, he's golden. And I wanted a receiver. And I took DeMarcus Robinson with the Chiefs just because of that physical ability and what he might end up being able to do. And then my last pick was Daniel Lasko. So if you think he's a sleeper, I'm very happy. Who's your Will C guy that you're a little skeptical about with the Saints?
Yeah, that's Von Bell. They took him in the second round, 61st overall. I did not see him as that kind of prospect at all. I thought he was a solid athlete, but didn't wow me with his movement, didn't wow me with his range. Yeah, he made a couple of nice plays on the ball as a post player outside the numbers, and when you see that, that's great. You know, look, the problem is we've talked about this a little bit with the safety spot. It's so hard to project safeties to the NFL because they're not always asked to do the same things in college. So anytime you see a player make a play that's easily translatable to the NFL, you could stick that on the wall and say, you know what, hey, we saw him make that interception against Michigan from single high, and we saw him come down and run the alley against Illinois and tackle Josh Ferguson in the flat. We saw him do it. So, you know, I think that that's kind of what happened there with Von Bell a little bit. He was a former five-star recruit, so he was a big name coming out. A little bit undersized. He's got long arms, but under 5'11". He's under 200 pounds. My biggest question was his instincts. I thought that his eye discipline on the back end was questionable. I didn't think he was an excellent tackler coming downhill. They hit a lot of big plays over the top against him throughout the year this past year as a junior. Me personally, from what I charted, I saw him give up two catches of 30-plus yards and two deep ball touchdowns in 2015. I can remember one against Maryland that was a deep post where he was just slow to react. And on the back end, especially in the NFL, those split seconds mean a world of difference. I don't know that Bell is that kind of instinctive safety that's going to consistently get. Look, he's got some physical gifts, and he may turn into something down the road, but in the second round, it was a little rich for me.
Let's move on to the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, I don't feel like we have spent that much time on their top pick, Vernon Butler. You know, they surprised a lot of people when they took him, even though they have Star Tulele and KK Short. What did you think of Butler? Obviously, Dave Gettleman knows how to pick D tackles. He's shown that, and he loved Butler.
Yeah, he's one of Gettleman's hog mollies up front. I mean, he's 6'4", he's 323 pounds. He's got outstanding length, and a guy that reminds some people of a guy like Muhammad Wilkerson, a guy that I saw up close for 4 years at Temple. I don't know that he's the kind of athlete that Wilkerson was coming out, but Butler's got outstanding size, really strong at the point of attack, holds up really well in the run game. He's got some deceptive movement, was really disruptive for Louisiana Tech. He had 28.5 tackles for loss throughout his career there. The question with me was his consistency. At times, I didn't know, especially late in games, I thought that there were issues with his stamina. I'd like to see him use his hands a little bit better. But a guy that, look, he's got a lot of upside. you know, if they feel like they're going to commit to KK Short long term and they're not going to be able to keep Lotulelei, I think Butler could be a really good complement to Short. So that'll be interesting to watch as that situation unfolds with Lotulelei and Short in terms of the contract negotiations. But Butler's a really intriguing player. I was surprised to see him go to Carolina in particular. But there, look, he got invited to the draft, so I knew he was going to go top 40, or at least I figured he was going to go top 40. But Butler's really, really intriguing. He could play one gap. He can play two gap. In that defense, he'll be very, very intrigued to see how he fits.
Then they took a bunch of corners. Is there any of these guys that you're skeptical on and you're taking a we'll see approach?
Well, yeah, it was really interesting. You know, they took three cornerbacks in this draft, and all three of them, I thought that they fit well in zone schemes, and they're a big zone coverage team. So, you know, in round two, they went James Bradbury out of Sanford. Round three, they went back to it and took the underclassman Darryl Worley from West Virginia. And then in round five, three picks in a row, they went. This time they went Zach Sanchez out of Oklahoma. All three of these guys have, you know, slightly different skill sets. You know, Sanchez is a guy I think they got pretty good value in round five, a little bit undersized, but I thought he was really instinctive in zone coverage, and I actually wrote down that I thought that would be his best fit, would be a scheme that played predominantly zone. Saw a lot of different interceptions where he showed the ability to overlap and give defenders help and make plays on the football. He had really good ball skills. Worley was a guy who flashed. He was very up and down, and to me, he'd be my we'll see, you know, for this team, because sometimes you look at him and you see a guy that's got great size and outstanding ball skills, and when you have that, you don't necessarily always need outstanding speed and the ability to play catch-up mode downfield. But look, he's almost 6'1". He's 204 pounds. He's got good length. He just gave up a ton of big plays downfield, and I'll tell you what, he was the right corner in this defense. When they played Baylor, Corey Coleman just ate him alive, and he gave up a ton of big plays in that game. But then throughout the course of the season, he gave up three touchdowns that I saw in man coverage, gave up eight plays of 20-plus yards throughout the season. So a guy that I think, yeah, he holds up pretty well in zone, but if you go and you need to be able to play man coverage in the NFL, can he consistently hold up in man coverage? That'll be the big thing with Worley. But, again, like Sanchez, he's got great ball skills. So sometimes ball skills can be enough to help a player make up for that lack of catch-up speed. He's got length. He's got ball skills. That, hopefully, for his sake, will help him stay afloat there in the NFL.
That'll do it for the AFC-NFC South breakdown of the draft. I am loving this, Fran. I got to tell you, I am loving, especially hearing your sleeper and who you're taking the we'll see approach with, because you don't hear a lot of people talking about those two things post-draft. It's mainly just the first round pick. So this has been awesome. We'll move on, hopefully, to the AFC North and NFC North next week. Hope you guys are enjoying this as much as we are. Please, please, please spread the word via social media about this podcast. That helps quite a bit. He is at FDuffy3 on Twitter. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Brian is at RTF Podcast. Of course, if you're a Facebook person, you can give us a like over at facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. And if you haven't already, we would absolutely love if you gave us an iTunes ranking. A ranking on iTunes and made a comment. That makes a big difference for us in terms of people finding out about what we do here on the College Draft Podcast. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more. Other than that, for right now, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft. Chugga, 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 chugga. Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.